Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength with a number 4, thejourney.com. That's strengthforthejourney.com. This is radio program number 57. If you're listening by shortwave radio, would like to re-listen to the program at a later time or send somebody else to the website to listen to the program. There are a number of links on the website as well. There's a tab called Articles, where there's a number of articles that have been written. I believe you'll find challenging but encouraging. There's also a link that is for what I call today's Rhema, and those are just words I believe the Lord has given me and others that are speaking to His body today. Much of those words today that the Lord is speaking, that I hear Him saying, is regarding purifying the bride, purifying the body, getting people's lives right with Him. And this is a challenge beyond challenges, because many people believe their lives are already right with God. And God is raising a new standard. He's looking for those that will obey Him, and He's looking for those that will serve Him with an obedient heart. And this is what the Lord is looking for right now, and He's calling out His people to do a work for Him. There's a world that's lost and dying that needs a Savior, and He needs a mouthpiece, He needs feet to go and tell. And there are sadly few that are willing to go and do what He asks them to do, because they're too busy living their own lives right now. I believe the refiner's fire is coming. It is here right now. I feel it all around me. The Lord is constantly challenging me to new levels and new depths of my walk with Him, of an obedient walk with Him. And I see it around me as well. And the Lord is bringing things out in us and in my life that are revealing. And what I believe the Lord is doing is that He's exposing things in our life that are not like Him. And we have the choice as the time, as the season of heat is on, and we feel like there's things in our life that we're seeing that we maybe didn't see before, that it's time to let those things go. And I wrote an article recently. It's called Comfort in the Flame. And I just wanted to start the program by reading this article. The flame is coming. And how it will affect each of us will be determined not by the temperature, but by the material the heat comes in contact with. Some material will be melted, some consumed, some hardened, but the heat will affect everything. No one will escape the refining process. The only way to go through the process and the process fulfill the purpose of the refiner is to find comfort in the flame. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, that we glory in tribulations. He understood that the purpose of the flame was to refine and ultimately define. Many don't like the flame because it reveals and exposes the hidden things of the heart. They don't like what is revealed to them, nor what is revealed to others. It exposes truth, and that is what truly defines each one of us. Many desire the darkness where truth can be hidden, but the fire gives light that cannot be denied, and gives heat that cannot be extinguished. The refiner will finish his work. He wants pure gold. The fire is coming, and no one will be able to escape its purpose or its plan. We must separate ourselves from the dross, or we will be the dross he separates. Nothing will satisfy the refiner but 24 karat gold. The father will be satisfied with nothing but a spotless bride for his son. His purity is after impurity he will get. Only the pure in heart will see God. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Our desire to be like Him will allow us to desire the flame. It is the only way we will find comfort in the flame. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, found comfort in the flame. When the uncompromised were heeded. Their desire to be molded into their Creator's image rather than the world's kept them from being consumed in the flame. Their hearts were made of refined gold because before they ever entered the oven. Although their hands were bound, their hearts weren't. Will we welcome the flame or avoid it? Are we afraid of it because we're afraid if it will consume rather than refine? God wants to gather his grain into the barn and burn the chaff. Will we be the grain he gathers or the chaff he consumes? The refiner is coming. The potter is about to put his clay workmanship into the kiln to finish his work. Are we willing to become his finished workmanship? Every comfort zone is about to leave. The fire that is coming will do just that. We must willingly leave our comfort zones, or our comfort zone will leave us. We will either look forward to and welcome the process the heat will bring, or we will resent it. Every hidden attitude and motive will be revealed. Our attitudes will expose the hidden things of what we're truly made of. The refiner's fire will make sure of that. The truth exposes everything. Will we welcome the refining truth or reject him? The refiner's fire is coming and now is upon us. It will be best for all of us to find comfort in the flame. I believe that we're in that time right now. The Lord showed me recently that the oven is on the bake cycle right now. And things that are hidden inside man is going to come out. And what the Lord was showing me is that we have to repent. When the Lord shows us things in our life that are not like him and not of him, that we have to let it go, that we have to release it by repenting of what he shows us and turning our heart so that he can take that scoop and pull the dross off the top of what he sees that's not of him. And as he does that, the gold, the purity in us will be increased, and the impurities will be taken away. But we have to be willing to let go of what we know that is not of him. And this is the part of repentance. Repentance is turning away from what we know is not right. That we have to turn our back on our sin. That we cannot continue to do what we know is wrong and consider ourselves really in a right place with God, because he's after a pure bride, and this is a time that God is saying that it's time to let things go. It's time to get with the program, because he's looking for people that can exemplify him. And I also believe that as we begin to become more like him, that more darkness is going to be exposed, because the light is going to become brighter in us. He said that we are the light of the world, and we're supposed to expose the sin. But if we have the sin in our own lives, how can we expose it? Because really, the sin is exposed to in us and through us. And I believe that the compromise that the body of Christ has in its right now is filtering his light from shining through. And God wants to turn that light up to reveal his real body, to reveal who his real bride is. But it's going to take us repenting and turning from our wicked ways. You know, the Lord, it made it very clear for restoration of a land, of a nation. And that was in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it says, if my people will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. But we have to do, it's my people. So that means my people can have wicked ways in them. That's his people. And we have to recognize if the Lord is doing a work in us, it's because he wants to do a work through us. And I want to listen to a song here, and I believe you'll really enjoy this song. It comes from a group called Emerging Voices, and it's called Glory Come Down.
My heart is in your hands. Keep me closer. In my life, I make a stand. Follow you only.
a holy presence and a holy fire that God wants to bring down upon the earth. But only those who have pure hearts will withstand that holiness. All others will be consumed by that holiness. The Lord said that, He said, only the holy will see God. The Bible says that they're very clear that there is a difference between those who desire to be right and those who desire to be wrong. Those who want to be right and those who don't care. They want to do whatever they want to do. And God is looking for a people right now, and He's revealing things that are in our heart. You know, sometimes we don't realize what's in our heart until the temperature gets to the right heat. I had a word that the Lord gave me the other morning, and it has pretty much goes along the same line of this article. But it says, all of us are going into the oven. The oven is now on the bake cycle. The intention of the heat is to purify and purge us of the impurities in our lives. But we must release and let go of the impurities when they are exposed. The intent of the fire is to refine, but if we do not let go of the impurities will destroy us, and the fire intended to cleanse will destroy. The Lord is saying, I am separating the grain from the chaff. If you will not separate yourself from the chaff, you will be the chaff that I separate. I am separating the dross from the gold. Release the dross, or you will be the dross I separate. True repentance will release the chaff and the dross. True repentance will offer no excuses. If you are making excuses for your dross, for the dross in your life, you have not truly repented. Throw your excuse book in the fire, for if you don't, I will. And anything attached to the excuse book will go into the fire as well. The Lord's trying to show us that there are things in our heart that we don't know that are there. You know, the Bible says to guard our heart, for out of it are the issues of life. There's a scripture in Mark, and it's talking about they were wondering about things they should eat, things they shouldn't. And the Lord said in Mark chapter 7, verse 14, He says, and when He had called all the people unto Him, He said unto them, hearken unto Me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, His disciples asked Him concerning the parable. And He said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enters into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it enters not into the heart, but into the belly, and goes out into the draught, purging all meats. And He said, what that which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For out of within the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So these are things that are already inside of us. We just don't know that they're there until the temptation is just right, or until the heat is up at the moment, and these things come out of us. Maybe there's anger that's already inside of us, and it just takes the right temperature to get that anger out. Maybe somebody cuts in front of us on the freeway one day, and we are already maxed out when we left the house, and this was kind of like overboard. But these things are still down there inside of us, and if they're there and they come out, then it's our job to repent of them and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, purge me. I don't want this thing in my heart if something's in there. And this really began to understand what was inside my heart when just after I got saved, and my mouth was just an absolutely foul mouth. And I read the scripture. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when I thought about that, and I looked at that, as I saw that scripture, I go, wow, you mean this is what is inside my heart? What's coming out of my mouth right now? And I asked the Lord to cleanse my heart, because I didn't want this stuff in my heart. And He did. And it was kind of funny, the first time I was a mechanic working on a car, And I smashed my finger, and I was absolutely amazed one day when I didn't let all sorts of foul words come out of my mouth, grimacing in pain. And after I kind of got a grip, I go, wow, I can't believe, you know, something come out of my mouth. But I knew the Lord was cleansing my heart. And he's still cleansing our hearts and still working on us, because there's still stuff in us that we don't even realize is there. But the situations, the temperature of the oven that we're going into right now, we're going into trying times. These times that we're entering into are going to be very trying, and they're going to test what is really inside of us. And it's going to test where our trust really is, whether our trust is in man, whether it's in our things, or if it's in the Lord. And so as these tests try us, we're going to have to realize, you know what, I was trusting in my stuff. You know, it may be a come a day when we may have a Cyprus event and we may have a bank bail-in, and all of a sudden one day your bank account's empty, like what happened in Cyprus here a while back. And how are we going to respond? What's going to happen when all of our life savings are gone, or whatever our security was in? And there's going to be testing times that are going to test what our trust is in. And we need to put our trust in the Lord right now and be obedient to him, because he's trying to guide and direct each one of our steps right now, where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be doing. And living here in Panama, I'm seeing people coming and going, and I'm seeing many people that are really being tested when they come, because when you leave your comfort zone, it's not a pleasant experience, and you have to be ready to go through the fire. You have to be ready to really trust the Lord. When we came, we didn't know anybody, and it was very difficult. And I really just cried out to the Lord, and I said, if you don't feed me, I'm going to die. And he said, good, now you're where I want you. And this is where he wants all of us. He wants us in a place where we're dependent upon him and upon his, what he wants us to do. And I have seen just absolutely the most amazing things happening in my life as I put my trust in him, that he's shown himself real. And I think sometimes he's waiting for those situations where we're crying out to him, because we realize that he's the only one who can deliver us. And it's like you feel like Pharaoh's army is on your backside and the Red Sea's in front of you, and you're caught between two hard places and you don't know what to do. And the Lord wants to open up the Red Sea. He wants to make a way in the wilderness. He wants to rain manna from heaven. But it's going to happen when we get through that place and make tough decisions about our life. You know, the scripture in Luke chapter 14, where he talks about the qualifications of being a disciple, every one of those things is very difficult, because he's saying that you can't love anybody more than me, including your own life. And honestly, many people today are in love with themselves, that they will preserve their life at any cost. But Jesus said that those who save their life will lose it, that he's wanting us to lose our life for him now. When I was packing up a lot of my things and my belongings and trying to decide what is I going to take with me, because I had virtually two suitcases to fill to leave the country, and I didn't really know what to bring, and I just was thinking, what am I going to do? And the Lord really began to speak to me and really began to show me what is important, what is not important. And looking at my trophies that were sitting in front of me and things that I might, past accomplishments, I couldn't take the stuff with me. And he said, do you want to hang on to your old trophies, or do you want new ones? And he said to me, I had a large food storage, and I was just thinking, trying to save my life. And he said to me, you spent 13 years trying to save your life. Now I want you to lose your life for me. Now he's saying, I want you to live for me and quit living for yourself. And I didn't really understand that. I didn't really understand what it meant to really lose your life for him and lay it down, really lay it down. I mean, most people don't really understand what it means to really lay your life down and really choose to make tough decisions about compromising with the world and the things of this world. And God is making it very, very clear now that if you love the world and the things of this world, you really don't love him, because they're contrary to each other. They're just diametrically opposed. But really what's happened is compromise has come into the church today, and the world and the church don't look a whole lot different. They're all seeking the same things. And really, we've watered the gospel down, and God's calling us now to separate, let go of the compromise, and let his light shine through us. Because compromise, his light lives in his believers. He said, you are the light of the world. But the problem is the compromise that we've allowed in our life is like filters layered one on top of the other. And what it does, it hinders his light from shining out of us. And those filters come in the form of what the world sees in us, they see in themselves. Really, what they see in themselves, they see in us. And the Lord's trying to say that he needs all that compromise out of our life right now, so there's nothing that the world can identify with us. You know, Jesus said that Satan has nothing in me. There was no place that he had given the devil. There's no place he'd given to the flesh. Give no provision to the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, the Bible says. Because when we give provision to the flesh, we give the enemy a meal, because that's what he feeds on. He feeds on our flesh. That when we give provision to the flesh, he has a meal, essentially. And it says in Genesis, when the serpent was judged in the garden, it says, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I believe what the Lord, the Bible was saying here was that our flesh is made of dust, and this is what he eats. And when we give no provision to the flesh, that we give no meal for him, and we give no way for him to gain strength out of our life. And this is why it says, therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because we have to submit first before we can resist. That there's no way that we can resist the devil if we don't submit to God first. That we have to submit to him first and put his authority, allow his authority by our submission to his authority in our life, that we can resist the devil. You know, this is where many Christians struggle, is that they are, in their hearts, they're still rebellious. They don't really want to submit to God. They still want to live their own life the way they want to, and they don't want to submit themselves. But this is the key to authority. This is the key to our authority that God wants to give each one of us, is that his authority will come through our submission to his authority. That when we submit to his authority, then he will grant his authority, and that we'll have the power over the enemy in our lives the way we would like to have that power, and the way that we can operate in true power against the wiles of the devil. So thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. I will be strength for the journey.